the intelligence. Parakritaha, done by the enemies. Utaho, or te, of you. Svataha, by yourself. Abhavat, was. Banyatam, that it be told. Shrotu kamanam, to us, who are very eager to hear about it. Gurunam, all your teachers. Kula Nandana, O best of your family. Translation. O best of your family, has this pollution of your intelligence been brought about by you or by the enemies? We are all your teachers and we are very eager to hear about this. Please tell us the truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaja's teachers were astonished that a small boy could speak such exalted Vaishnava philosophy. Therefore, they inquired about the Vaishnavas who stealthily taught it to him in order that these Vaishnavas might be arrested and killed in the presence of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu. Nice teachers. And then text 11. Sri Parada Uvacha, Para Svascheja Sad Graha, Pungsam Nyan Mayaya Kritaha, Vimohita Diam Drishtas, Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. Prahlad Maharaj replied, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am now actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard about it from authoritative sources. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gavihastani shunichaiva svapakecha andita samadarshanaha. Translation. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. Pandita, those who are actually learned, the equipoised, advanced devotees who have full knowledge of everything, do not see any living entity as an enemy or friend. Instead, with broader vision, they see that everyone is part of Krishna, as confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In parentheses, Jivera Swarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. Every living entity, being part of the Supreme Lord, is meant to serve the Lord. This is every part of the body is meant to serve the whole body. Paragraph. As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one. But a Vaishnava, because of his natural humility, addresses every other living entity as Prabhu. A Vaishnava sees other servants to be so advanced that he has much to learn from them. Thus he accepts all of the devotees of the Lord as Prabhus, masters. Although everyone is a servant of the Lord, one Vaishnava servant, because of humility, sees another servant as his master. Understanding of the master begins from understanding of the spiritual master. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadan nagatikatopi. Quote, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Then another, sakshad hari trena samasta shastrayar uktastata bhavyate eva sadbihi kintu prabhorya priya eva tasya bande guru sri charanaravindam. Translation: the spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. The spiritual master, the servant of God, is engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, namely delivering all the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya in which one thinks. This person is my enemy, and that one is my friend. Actually, the Supreme Personality of God, it is the friend of all living entities, and all living entities are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Oneness is possible through this understanding, not through artificially thinking that every one of us is God or equal to God. The true understanding is that God is the Supreme Master and that all of us are servants of the Supreme Lord and are therefore on the same platform. This has already been taught to Prahlad Maharaj by his spiritual master, Narada. But Prahlad was nonetheless surprised by how a bewildered soul thinks one person his enemy and another his friend. In the last paragraph, as soon as one adheres to the philosophy of duality, thinking one person a friend and another an enemy, he should be understood to be in the clutches of Maya. The Mayavadi philosophers who think that all living entities are God and are therefore one is also mistaken. No one is equal to God. The servant cannot be equal to the master. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, the master is one, and the servants are also one. But the distinction between the master and servant must continue even in the liberated stage. In the conditioned stage, we think that some living beings are our friends, whereas others are enemies, and thus we are in duality. In the liberated stage, however, the conception is that God is the master and the living entities, being the servants of God, are one. Very delicate subject matter, so artfully explained by our founder Acharya. So we have people present are from different places. So I think I'll give a little background. In this chapter 5, this is only verse 10 and 11, so the chapter just began. It begins with Hiranyakashipu, terrible demon, inviting his son to come see him, and affectionately he sits Prahlad on his lap and asks Prahlad, like sometimes we might do with a child, what's the best thing that you've learned in school? You know, common, innocent, natural, affectionate kind of question, little dialogue. In case of Hiranyakashipu, it's a little more than that. He's the king, and he wants to make sure that his son is ready to take over the throne in course of time. The teachers are doing a good job. What's the best thing that you learn? It's in just natural affection with the child, both. So the way that Prahlad responds, it's just one verse. It's similar to other verses that are going to come later, but I'll just recite the verse because it's so nice. It's shocking to Hiranyakashipu. Just speaks one verse. So here's the verse. Tatsadu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna diam asat grahat hitvatma patam grihamandakupam vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. So what's the best thing that you've learned? So the summary is, well, I'll read. As far as I have learned from my spiritual master, that's the best thing that he's learned, from Narada, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of falling in a dark well where there is no water, but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to the forest of Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and one should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nice translation, a little embellishment. Best thing. There's an embarrassment. First, you know, the first item of knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13. First item of knowledge, humility and pridelessness. So detaching oneself from the bodily conception, there's something about the bodily conception that makes one invigorated with pride, because that's our worth, that's our value. We have this body, and the body can do something, and we have some acquisition through our activities, some ability, some objects, something. Pride. So one who has that bodily conception should reject that bodily conception and to accept that the spiritual conception, acknowledge, recognize this position. One has fallen into this dark well. Blind well is not something we know so much about in America. But a well, once upon a time, a well is dug, and at the bottom of the well, the purpose of the well is to get water. But when the supply of water dries up, then not a useful well anymore, and so it just grows. And from time to time, at least in fields or around homes or, you know, in villages, there are places where there's a blind well. It's like, you know, a well that used to have water doesn't have water, and so grasses grow around the well, and it's dangerous, especially if they don't cover the well, because people can fall in the well, and there's no water. You die falling in the blind well. I know someone, a devotee, that happened. They fell in a blind well. They died. So if you're in a blind well, the purpose of the well is water and there's no water and there's no escape because you're at the bottom of a well, what should you do? Give up the blind well position and go to the forest, or, you know, relinquish, purposefully step away from the bodily conception and acting for the purposes of receiving benefits from working in the bodily conception, fruitive work. And then engage oneself. Harim ashrayeta. Harim ashrayeta. Ashra, take shelter of. Hari, to engage in devotional service. Let go of the bodily conception and engage in devotional service. And at least one traditional method of doing that is the path of renunciation, in which one gives up prescribed duties, karma sannyas, give up prescribed duties, and instead engage in something else. So here, it's a Vaishnava advocacy. You know, not everybody is a Vaishnava in the world. Some others are impersonalists. So they give up prescribed duties, karma sannyas, and then I start identifying themselves with Narayan. So that's being addressed in the next purport. Text 11. So Prahlad is speaking about Hari Bhakti or Harim Ashrayeta. And that's not what the teachers are supposed to be teaching. Devotional service to Hari and give up this family life and attachment to the bodily conception of life. This boy is to be trained to become the king, to be my successor. So how has his intelligence become polluted? That's this buddhi beta in the first line here. Buddhi means intelligence, and beta is distinct, or here it's polluted intelligence. How has intelligence become polluted? Knowledge in the mode of ignorance. Is that which is to be done, is not to be done. And that which is not to be done, is to be done. So from Ishopanishad, vidyam cha vidyam chayas tad vedo bhayam saha. One has to understand side by side, and that's what the Bhagavatam is helping us understand side by side, the distinction of knowledge and the cultivation of ignorance. And Sunda and Marka, their school teachers, they're teachers of ignorance. They're cultivating ignorance, bodily conception, and with bodily conception, seeing the distinction between things and the Supreme Lord. And then there's my group, and then there's another group. My friends, they help me over here, my side of interest of accumulating things, and over there is the other side, and the enemies, because they're interested and they have some of the things that we want, or they're encroaching upon the things that we have, friends and enemies. This is the world of duality. So Prabhupada is making the point clearly, that there's this extreme, there's that extreme, and both are wrong. There's the friends-enemy extreme, and then there's this sense of oneness where you homogenize the distinctions between living entities and say that we're God. It's a whole philosophical construct, word jugglery construct, but that's like the end game. Is the assertion is we're all God, and to get there, that we're all God, you have to call every living entity as God, and anything else is illusion, it's false. Variety is false, and individuality is false, and everything where there's diversity, plurality, difference, it's just false. And the reality is, it's a very intricate philosophical program, but we're God. So there's another sense that's Prabhupada is very beautifully articulating, starting with this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Vidyavanai Sampani, Brahmani Gavi Hastani, Shuni Chaiva Sapakicha, Pandita. A pundit is a learned person. And a learned person, Sama Darshana, sees all living entities equal. Prabhupada, in that purport of that verse, makes it very clear. Seeing all living entities equal doesn't mean that you see a lion and you go and embrace the lion. You behave differently with different embodiments. We recognize a social structure within society, and then different living entities have different bodies, and we relate according to those distinctions, while recognizing all the time there's a spiritual spark within, and that spiritual spark is part and parcel of the Supreme, and all of the sparks unto the Supreme are the servants. There's a sense of oneness in that we're all servants, parts of the Supreme, that sense of oneness. And then making distinctions in practical terms, in terms of embodiment. And I was thinking, just upstairs reading the purport and down here again reading the purport, there's distinctions even amongst those living entities in the human form, specifically amongst, as being said in the purport, amongst those who are Prabhus. Very nicely presented. Amongst those who are Prabhus, that springs from the natural humility of a Vaishnava. Although, on the one hand, there's a sense of oneness amongst all living entities, by natural disposition, a Vaishnava is humble. It's just a natural virtue. Without being humble, how's one going to become a Vaishnava, a servant of the Supreme? So humility is operating, then they regard other living entities as Prabhu. At least that's the training. And those who are Prabhus, there's something to learn from them. There's later sections of the Bhagavatam where one can learn all kinds of things from all varieties of living entities. There's so many different spiritual masters out there where one can learn from this living entity and that living entity and the other living entity about reality. There has to be some discerning capacity, but there's a gift of knowledge to be gained in so many ways. If your antenna is up and Super Soul is guiding, and instruction can come. So we see others as Prabhu, but amongst many Prabhus, Prabhupada is stating it very nicely, foremost amongst them, so this is a distinction amongst Prabhus, those who are giving us guidance and instruction how to go further towards Krishna. Now, so there's this distinction of devotees, these who aren't devotees. So in the Madhyama position, which we're cultivating, we make friends amongst the devotees. And we don't do the same with others. We have regard for innocent people, and we extend what we've received from higher authority to those persons. We send kindness, just general kindness to innocent people. It was really far out. One of the far out things that happened yesterday, I was taking prasadam near one of the japa booths, and there was a little old lady that had one of those, we call them in New York bag ladies. She had like a little push cart with all kinds of, I don't know what was in there, but stuff that she gathered from here and there. And very compassionately, one of the devotees that was doing the japa booth went over and brought her some japa beads. And she went through the whole, 108 beads chanting with this devotee. They were smiling and nodding. And so at the end, she pulled out, out of all of her stuff, she pulled out a little pouch, and in the pouch there were some crumpled up dollar bills. She gave two dollar bills. She wanted two sets of beads. She had a friend, a bag lady. Now, he would have just given her, but she wanted to. I mean, wow. Who knows who's out there that will have an attraction for Krishna and Krishna's holy name. So we gave her some prasad. It was like, this is really amazing. So we gave her some prasadam, and she ate some, and she wanted to save some for her friend. So her friend's going to get japa beads and some prasadam, because this little lady, somebody very kindly extended what they had received to her. Maybe a not so likely candidate, but who knows? It was really nice. So this is what Madhyamas do, the whole festival, Jagannath Rath Yatra festival and Harinam Sankirtana book distribution. These are Madhyama functions. Now, if you're on the platform of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's more than that. Bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, because he has left Vrindavan, although he never leaves Vrindavan. It's that, there's all kinds of transcendental rasa messages with Krishna consciousness, or even our Madhyama functions. That's a whole other. Uttama Adhikari personalities may come to the Madhyama platform, not lower their consciousness, but come to that platform inspired by their spiritual master, or inspired by Krishna, or inspired somehow to perform a Madhyama function, although they may be far beyond the Madhyama platform. And extending mercy is natural, just as Prahlad was doing with his classmates, which is coming attractions. It irritates the heck out of Hiranyakashipu. But again, extending Harim Ashrayeta, verse, encouragement to take shelter of Lord Hari. Now, the friends and enemy persons, especially demons, they see that as like really bad, because Hari is the enemy. Those who take shelter of Hari then become enemies, and those who teach to take shelter of Hari become enemies. And it's, it's really explicit. It's demoniac. But there's covered. It's less explicit demoniac in this world that we live in. And impersonalism is one of them. And impersonalism is not, just some remote place in South India. Impersonalism is in the Western countries also, or especially, or pervasive. Therefore, in our pranam mantra, we have this statement that Srila Prabhupada, exactly as he's doing in this purport for text 11, he's Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pastyatya Deshatarine, delivering the Western world, which is filled with impersonalism and voidism, making the distinction of when you let go by that great good fortune of however it happens, not just by pious activities, but and born of frustration, you want to give up the worldly situation, but you can't take shelter, even you can't take shelter of the notion of Brahman or this homogenized spiritual oneness thing. It's notional only. Actual Brahman realization is far more elevated, like the Kumaras or Shukadev Goswami. But even, you know, the notional idea born of frustration, that's pervasive. There's lots of frustrated people, and therefore they become attracted to, if there's some in the spiritual marketplace, something out there that doesn't require taking shelter. It's attractive. It's popular. It's fashionable. All the other kids are doing it. Yes. Just one example, and I'll open for discussion. A few days back, I was at, with a student that had just, I met him when he was doing his graduate studies at the University of Texas in Austin. He finished his graduate study, and now he's has a job. You know, that standard thing. So when he was in graduate study, I met him. He was introduced to Krishna consciousness through the club at the campus. And he somehow became attracted to meditation. And then, but he, you know, continued his association with devotees. This is just the grain of rice in the pot. He, through association with devotees, he came in contact with the chanting of the holy name. And he was sharing with me, when I do this meditation, I feel such and such. It makes me feel, you know, relaxed and peaceful and concentrated and contented and so forth. And when I do chanting, I understand the message about chanting, but when I do chanting, I just find it's monotonous and mechanical, and I must be doing something wrong. So, you know, what's your advice? It's very simple, honest, uniquely honest kind of expression. So where the discussion went was, why is it this process of meditation seems to be more appealing, and the process of chanting the holy name seems to be less appealing? I asked him, what is the type of meditation that you're doing? Is it the kind that you fix your mind on one thing, or the kind that you try to empty your mind of all things? He said the second one, along with following breath. Okay. And what's your experience when you do that? Okay. You know, I'm before I started chanting, I was doing that too. And what's your experience after you feel very peaceful and relaxed and, you know, spiritual? If that's like spiritual, that's the spiritual experience. What happens after that? And I didn't even, he just said, you're right. You know, it just starts to get cluttered again. And did you think about why it's like that? He said, well, I'll suggest why it's like that. It's just not natural. You know, the negation of the disturbances in the mind by a mechanical process, it's unnatural. It's not like what people do. It's not what living entities are active. So you just like shut off activity. Turn off the body, turn off the mind, at least like hit the pause button. But how long can you stay that way? The souls are active. And when you do activity, your consciousness isn't purified. Turmoil is going to resume slowly or intermediate or quickly? He said, yes, that's exactly what happens. So now, what is it about chanting that to you looks mechanical and that doesn't look mechanical? So let's, what is chanting? It's the holy name. It's Krishna. He was Indian born, so I said, there's a verse. Abhina tvam nama namino. There is, just like here, buddhi beta. Oh, beta means difference. Bhinna means separate. Abhina tvam, having the quality of non-difference between nama and namino, the name and the person. So how come you know, calling Krishna's name, it's mechanical or monotonous? But the name is not different than the person. You're associating with Krishna, you find it monotonous. What's that? It's impersonalism. He said, oh, I've heard about this. It's kind of like Prahlad speaking here. I've heard about this impersonalism, but I didn't recognize it was in me. It's in us. You know, we're in the material world because of this attitude towards the loving relationship with the Supreme, that we're competing. So we fall into this position of duality, and, you know, this is wholesome and that's monotonous. It's, you know, the issue is relationship with Krishna. It's why we're in the material world. You think you're going to get out of the material world, out of the material condition, by not acknowledging the root problem of the material condition? Is it possible? Not possible. So that sense of serenity or, you know, spirituality that comes from an impersonal something or other, there's no shelter there. We need shelter of Hari. Same message. Shelter of Hari. So understand, at least in principle, understand what the name of Krishna is. It's who, not what. This is, and you're associating with Krishna. And if whatever that discomfort you feel in your relationship with Krishna, that's what the discomfort is. It's not the process. It's the root cause of material existence that you're confronting. So stay with the process, faithfully. He said, I get it. And Prahlad here is saying the same thing to his teachers. I've heard about this friends and enemy program. I've heard about it from my teacher, Narada. And now I'm seeing it. You guys, my teachers, you're seeing friends enemy. And I don't buy it. I don't want that program, thank you. I want the Hari Ashrayeta program, thank you. I want Narada as my teacher. So we're selecting, know it or not, we're doing it. We're selecting teachers and teachings in life. And there's lots of impersonal, some disguise, some medium, some grossly, bluntly, you know, impersonal varieties out there. And then we have the option of the Vaishnava conception. And it's letting go of this, same as the message that he spoke, Prahlad spoke to his father. The best thing he's learned is there is this big time foolishness, which is accepting the bodily conception. That's the eye conception. And then the mind conception, being attached to family and all the stuff that goes with it. Oh, that the sense of proprietorship and enjoyership and, you know, society, friendship and love in the material field. recognizing that's a blind well where there's no water, let go of that. So it doesn't mean so now we'll go to the impersonal. The impersonal says, trash it. Call it a bad name. It's false. Reject it. Karma sannyas, throw it away, garbage. Now become Narayan. That's explicit. There's less than explicit, but it's implicit. Those other programs, that's where the train is going. That's the final station where that train is going. Most people that get on the train don't know that's where the train is going, but that's where the train is going. And they're comfortable with it. And so the percentage, naturally, it's not unnatural, it's very natural, that in this material world, there will not be so many percentage-wise Vaishnavas. Because this world is a place of rebellion to the Supreme Lord. So those who wish to remedy the rebellion to the Supreme Lord by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord as he's the master and all others who are serving him are the master and I'm the servant. I mean, it's not many that are willing to take that position. But one who can take that position starting with his humility. I'm emphasizing this word humility because it's going to be the message during the festival of the Holy Name, but it's also the message of Bhagavad Gita. It's a message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're given the process, and we don't have any taste for the process. Durdaivam idrishim mahajani nanuragaha. So what's the remedy? Trinadapi sunit. That's for starters. Become humble. So we'll speak some more about that during the festival of the Holy Name. And take shelter. Harim ashrayeta. From the heart, take shelter. It's nice. The other is, it's unfortunate. Another misfortune, taking shelter of nothing. Or taking shelter of nothingness, being a little more explicit. Shelter of nothingness. Whew. How unfortunate. And go over the other side, take shelter of illusion, as it's, the language is very explicit, maya, seeing friends and enemies. That's another misfortune. So what else? Nothingness or, you know, maya? There is a path of shelter of Hari. And starting with awakening that tendency for being in the mood of service to Hari through the chanting of the Holy Name and all the other processes of hearing and chanting, that's the path. So this verse is saying, who has polluted your intelligence? Did someone else do it, or was it you yourself? We'll hear what Prahlad has to say in response. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So sorry, my voice is a little shot. You deliberated the Madhyama and the Uttama perspective on Rath Yatra. And the question came to my mind, how will the Kanishtha or the Madhyama ever become an Uttama if we don't generally hear much about If we don't generally hear much about the Uttama's transcendental perspective on the same activity that for us is maybe an outreach endeavor. Because I was thinking that it's no doubt wonderful to see someone for the first time chant Hare Krishna and take a book, but one could argue that it's arguably more wonderful that a soul is taken from his position of self-centered enjoyment to giving up his selfishness.
A soul is taking the position of what? Self-centered enjoyment.
To the position of relinquishing that for becoming an instrument in the spiritual world in the hands of the...
I heard about 50% or maybe 60% of what you just said. I have a problem in hearing.
Yeah, should I have Manoj read the question? He's got a sweet...
Huh? Yes. Well, yeah, very simple. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, and serving the devotees, and worshiping the deity. That's how. Should I elaborate? But I'm answering. I'll elaborate. Thank you for the nice question. It's an important question. For example, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing Vyasadeva is the compiler. What's the platform of Vyasadeva? Shukadeva Goswami is the speaker. What's the platform of Shukadeva? And even in the presentation, for example, of Lord Brahma, because I'm going to be discussing the prayers of Lord Brahma, what's the platform of Lord Brahma? All three of those are Mahajans. They're persons from whom we are to hear. Now, each of them has a different position in terms of, you know, rasa, and in terms of their taste as rasikas. But even within these prayers of Lord Brahma, I'm sharing ahead of time, but Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary on the first verse of that chapter, says largely Brahma is on the platform of Aishwarya. His mood is a mood of majesty, but he's being influenced by and expresses himself with Brajaprem. Your question is not Braja Prem, your question is the Uttama Adhikari. We hear from Uttama Adhikaris. We're hearing from Uttama. You read Srimad Bhagavatam, you're hearing from them. And the commentary of our Acharyas is we're hearing from them. And in that association, even the Kanishtha or the Madhyama gets that association. I could elaborate further, but does that work for you, or you still don't like that one?
No question of not liking that. I guess it works. I'm just thinking, in my personal experience, we are doing that. And
we are doing what?
We are doing reading, hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. And
fantastic. Right. That's what we're supposed to be doing, so please continue. Faithfully, more than faithfully. with dedication. That's what Lord Brahma says. San mukharitam bhavadiya vartam, with dedication. And what happens? You come to that position. Such a person can understand Hari. There's nothing missing. Like there's, you know, there's a secret formula that you get a password to when you become like a super devotee, and then they give you the password. Then there's something that you don't have access to just now because you don't have the password. Krishna is very kind, and he'll carry one. He'll whatever you have, he'll preserve, and whatever you need, he'll make the arrangement. It's there. It's already there. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the purport, you were reading Vidya Vinaya Sampanne.
Speak slowly and clearly. I'm 50% deaf.
In the purport, you were reading that Vidya Vinaya Sampanne,
yeah,
and friends and enemies. Practically in my life, I work in the IT world, and we see that people always put other fellow down, criticize other,
yes,
fellows, so that they get higher to the ladders,
yes,
and which is unfortunate. But when I am getting an answer that Hari Ashrita, so practically what should I be doing when I am victimized in that situation?
You're not. Give up the notion that you're being victimized. That's what you should do.
Oh.
They're doing this to me. That's Maya. But you could give me an argument that says, no, they're doing this to me. They can't touch you. This is Bhaktisiddhanta's statement. No one can harm you except you yourself. They're not. You, if you're Krishna conscious IT guy in a place where people are doing friends and enemies program, you're protected by Krishna. They may be thinking, and you may also be thinking, and you're no better than they are if you're thinking that they're doing this to me. I'm the victim. You're part of the program. You follow? So now, let's flip the question around and say, what should I do in that environment? Take shelter of Hari. Don't play the game. Don't be a participant in the duality game.
So even loss comes, we should accept.
Huh?
If something goes wrong, or we lose the job, we lose something, we should accept it.
What are you going to do anyways? You lose your job or don't lose your job? Supposing you're one of them and you're the friends and enemies player. You can lose your job or not lose your job. So one is play the game. And, you know, maintain your job or not maintain your job because somebody else plays better than you play and you lose your job. That you play better than the other guy and he loses your job instead of you lose your job. That's, you know, you can do that. That's a choice. In other words, you don't play the game. You work for Krishna. Now, if you work for Krishna, is it possible that it might rain? Then it might rain. There's duality. One day it's going to be sunny, another day it's going to rain. If you're a devotee of Hari, it's never going to rain. It's going to rain. So some days this, some days that. Duality is going to have its program going on. But a devotee of Hari just worked for Hari. They're like Prahlad. He's not seeing friends and enemy. Look what they're doing. They're trying to get him to play the game. Training him in diplomacy and politics and all of that stuff. He's not interested. He's not going to play the game. He could, just like for self-preservation, play the game. At least externally play the game so I'll be protected and I won't have to, you know, they can't hurt me. Because it just at least make like I'm playing the game. He doesn't do that. Now, depends on our consciousness, you know. So he's on the very, we cannot imitate Prahlad. But we're not given tests commensurate with Prahlad's test. It's not like if you don't play the game, we're going to kill you. We know that's what they're planning to do. We're going to find those Vaishnavas and we're going to kill them. This Prabhupada is very clear in the purport. So that's not the level of gamble or risk for you. You might lose your job, but you might lose your job playing the game. It's duality. Sometimes it's going to rain. Sometimes it's, you know, there's a place of duality. It's going to happen. Sometimes this and sometimes that. Now, make a choice. Do you want to play the game or do you want to be cultivate the consciousness of being in service to Krishna? Being in service to Krishna, I may do this. Or I may do that. Or I may just pause out. But if I'm doing this or that or pausing out, it's in service to Krishna. It's not involving myself in the friends and enemies game. That's what you can do. According to your capacity. According to your faith. According to the intelligence that Krishna gives you. Each one of us can do like that. It's a free will choice. And one who takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna protects. He promises, and he does. Just this past week, this is Monday, the past week, somebody called me from work without the details. The friend's enemy thing was going on. And, you know, they were really, really irritated because of, you know, without the detail, what to do. You know, they're at work and they're ready to like walk out because it was just so ugly. What to do? You know, same message. So it's not just theoretical. And it's not only in the IT forum.
As far as elevating from a Kanishta Adhikari to a Madhyama Adhikari to an Uttama Adhikari, is there any maybe in-between stage where sometimes you see through the eyes of an Uttama Adhikari?
Sometimes we do what?
You see like how you see through the eyes of an Uttama Adhikari.
Sure.
Like, but
sure.
Then sometimes you fall back down into the Madhyama.
Okay. You follow? So that's why we have our acharyas. There's Shastra Chakshusha, that's Krishna speaking, and then there's Acharya Chakshusha or Uttama Adhikari Chakshusha, and they're very, very kind and very, very qualified, and they're helping us to see through their eyes. Now, we may not be on that platform, but we can see through their eyes. Just by the hearing process and, you know, receiving and discussing amongst one another and like that. Katayantash chamam nityam tushanti charamati. Like that. We can see as they see, although we're not there. At least we're given, you know, we're being lifted. Okay? You have something?
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that according to the essential nature of our surrender, then he will reciprocate.
Yes.
Right.
Etc.
So, you know, I felt that the question, underpinning the question was, in simple language, how personal are we supposed to get? Because to be a person is to have desires, both at the stage of bondage and the stage of liberation. So in the stage of bondage, how personal is our approach to Krishna to become? Because even when we say a servant of Krishna, that's very generic. How do you want to serve Krishna? That's more personal. Just like a disciple, you know, the spiritual master may want the disciple to render service in a particular way. The disciple also has his desires to please the spiritual master in a particular way.
Right.
And those desires are being manifested now by Srila Prabhupada's disciples like yourself. Many desires to please Srila Prabhupada. So how personal are we supposed to actually become so that our chanting, our services to Krishna are filled with that sort of personalism and not just like a very generic, somewhat alike to the homogenized impersonalism we hear about?
Yeah. Fantastic question. I like your question a whole lot. Well, you repeated it several times. How personal should we get? And I'm inclined to respond, at least initially, by saying as personal as you can, and then at the same time being respectful of the company that you keep. Meaning, in different circumstances, one will exhibit that as personal as you can spirit in different ways according to social circumstance. Like, for example, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu associated with Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar differently than how he associated with others. He didn't with others the same way that he did with them. And he did with them in a way different than he did with others. So according to circumstance, socially, one is interested in nurturing the faith of others and recognizing their position according to the intelligence that Krishna gives us, nurturing their faith as a subset or as a manifestation of how personal one should be in serving those who you're receiving from. You know, then take that directional kind of response, and you know the application in real life is so diverse. Like where is our capacity or acumen to understand the faith of others and what's best for the faith of others? You know, that's a gift that Krishna gives that not everybody has equally. But we should be thinking along those ways as part of as a subset of our interest of as personal as we can. Certainly, looking to our founder, Acharya, gee whiz, he was really expert at that. And others are more expert and others are less expert than, you know, others who are his followers.
Also, we were talking about the emphasis of events at Rath Yatra on attracting new people, getting them to chant and become involved in our society. And sometimes the relationships, sometimes with new people, it's so exciting and very, devotees become extremely warm, but other times there's so many other devotees coming and the relationships with other devotees may not even be at that degree. So I'm just curious from kind of like our society's position, you know, it seems that we have a lot of emphasis on bringing new people in, and then the maintenance and the development perhaps are areas where we need to improve.
Of course.
And I was curious how you could see, how you see that, you know, what are areas and what do you see that
the whole shebang
increase
the whole thing, the whole thing,
retain the members,
the whole thing, across the board. I'll say it in reverse. I can't think of an area where we're not really poor in and need lots of work. Let's just take categories. There's been a fair amount of conversation and exploration and contemplation on our brahmachari training and education and transitioning and you know, care throughout life. You know, huge amount of attention needs to be given to that area. Huge attention needs to be given. Okay, so there's then, you know, care of the deities, that's, you know, care of our grahasthas. I mean, I can't think of an area where we don't need like an enormous amount of improvement. Enormous. A lot of work to be done. So all glories to those who are making those sacrifices, you know, our managers. Try being a manager for a while. See what it's like. You need a lot of improvement in, you know, how to do that better and provide resources and the culture of respect at the same time. But, you know, conversely, the culture of empowerment, you know, so much. One of the impetuses for improving in this, you know, area, this broad area that you're asking about, is when we bring people in, you know, bring people into what? Whether it's, you know, just take those two categories, brahmacharis or grihastas. What are we bringing them into? We're inviting them into what? So what do we have? A lot of work to be done. And then, you know, that's part of Vaishnava Seva. It's, you know, fantastic. In different categories. And some people are good at this, and some people are good at that, and some people are good at something else. And then systems of training and education to do any one of those things. Like, say, you know, training children. What do we have in place for training those who are training children? Just take one out of the, you know, the khichdi pot. Someone comes along and they train kids this way, another one comes along and trains kids that way, and what are the elements of that are really important, although there's diversity? Are we doing a good job in that? You know, and then take any other thing. Take any other thing. We've got a lot of work to do. But that's exciting, not like, you know, discouraging.
It's a follow-up. It just seems that also that, you know, Krishna's mercy is so readily available, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But, you know, and we see in ISKCON that to really get Krishna's mercy is such a difficult thing. You know, for devotees who've been practicing many years to, you know, give up their practice, they've established a very close relationship with Krishna, but to really get that Krishna's mercy that they can hold on to, is it just the nature of trying to practice in Kali Yuga? Is it things that, you know, we're not doing?
I have an opinion on this topic. We're going to end after this. I'll say it two different ways. Lots of people, in my opinion or my experience, they join the Hare Krishna movement with their mind. And then what happens? Mind changes. Sankalpa vikalpa. So they haven't fully, there's no loss. I sat in a class and I heard Prabhupada say it directly, looking around the room. There are many people that can take part in Krishna consciousness and may do so for some period of time and then go away. He was making of like a very direct statement. But then he was speaking specifically at that moment about initiation, but initiation for those who are more serious. And then he made it so light. He said those who chant 16 rounds for 6 months minimum, they may take initiation. That was like commitment. Anyway, so we need to go beyond the mind, sankalpa vikalpa, to something, and for that to happen, you know, it's from our side, and from the side of those who are extending care, they have to help people go beyond the mind, and you have to be willing to go beyond the mind. And what's that? Well, that's a whole other thing besides just introducing people to Krishna consciousness. It's important to introduce people to Krishna. It's fun. It's wonderful just getting people to chant and getting people to take prasadam and knowing what's the benefit of that. It's right. It's Rupa Goswami's teaching. And then what? And then what? We have to pay attention to the and then what. No, the whole range, all the way up to as far as you can go. We have to, so. There's no loss of diminution. Someone begins and desists. One time Prabhupada said, don't be surprised when people go away, be surprised when people stay. But you know, part of the encouragement of people staying is the right kind of association, the right kind of example, the right kind of care. That's what helps people get started. It will help people continue. So we, you know, the Sangha of devotees, we need to become advanced so we're good association rather than the other kind. Don't like wait, you know, look for somebody else to be good association. Be good association. Amongst one another. Kantayantash chamam dityam. Okay, last question. You have an announcement? Okay, please.
So Maharaj has been speaking on Vyasadeva's trance the last time I was here. It's a three-part session. So two have been done. So tonight, 6:30 p.m., will be the third and final, I believe, Maharaj, third session on Srila Vyasadeva's trance from Canto 1, Chapter 7. So tonight, 6:30 p.m. Hare Krishna.
See the Prabhupada key.